morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. If you ever want to join the conversation, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. It is Total Eclipse Day. We'll be talking about the eclipse and things going on in our area coming up right after the 11:33 news. Right now, they're very excited to have our next guest with us. If you are a weather nerd or a weather geek or just a fan of weather, you're going to want to stick around for this. This is your opportunity, folks, to get involved with weather. Kevin Erb is the program manager for the Conservation Professional Training Program at the UW-Madison Division of Extension. Good morning, Kevin. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning.
Very happy to have you with us to talk about kokoroths. What are kokoroths?
Well, we're not talking Cocoa Puffs, the breakfast cereal. What we're
I'm
talking
out.
About, we're talking about the Cooperative Rain, Snow, and Hail Network, which is an opportunity for individuals across the country really to get involved, to be a part of documenting the climate and helping improve the accuracy of weather forecasts, all by putting up one of the official rain gauges or doing some other type of very easy citizen science type of work.
I mean, it's not like you're expecting people to take time off work to do these things for you. This is something that any of us could do, right?
Exactly. We have everything from schools in Wisconsin here where the students look once a day at the rain gauge and take 60 seconds to document in the app how much rain. They'll take a ruler or a yardstick out, measure how much snow fell. There's people that are 80 and 90 years old that have been documenting rain all of their lives because they're farmers, so they just have that interest. And by putting up one of the more official rain gauges, because we want everybody to be consistent, it's really a neat project that is fairly low cost and for people really to make a difference.
What's so interesting, and I got this from an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Madeline Heim, the kokoroths, as you said, the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network has been doing this for more than 20 years. I had no idea this was even in existence. So there are 10,000 plus observers, including close to 800 in Wisconsin.
Correct. In fact, there's more than 20,000 observers in the country, but we have about 10,000 that on a daily basis will report either the rain or snow that they got, or sometimes more importantly, report that they got nothing. So this morning I had 1/100th of an inch here just outside of my office in Green Bay, but the two previous days to that I had nothing. And so we like to say be a zero hero. It's important to report when you got nothing as well.
Well, it is so interesting because you can be where you are in Green Bay and someone can be 10 miles outside of maybe even less, right? 5 miles further away and they get rain and you get nothing.
Yep. Well, it's not only that, but it's particularly we get into this time of year where you get these pop-up thunderstorms and throughout the summer, literally you can be a block apart, a quarter mile, 5 miles or whatever, and there can be a dramatic difference. I mean, I grew up on a small farm in Illinois, and there were times where we got rained out and the neighbors didn't, and we were working in fields right next door to each other. And so there's a lot of variability in precipitation, and being able to document that really helps the Weather Service improve their forecast models, not only for urgent events like floods, but also more long-term, kind of looking at where things are with the climate.
I mean, isn't this where we get some of our like drought data from?
Exactly. And that's one of the interesting things. So last year was the first year that Wisconsin was documented at the severe level of drought that we were, particularly in southwest Wisconsin, in the Driftless area. And it was because we finally had enough density of people that were reporting rain, or in last year's case, the lack of rain, that we were able to actually document that, yes, Wisconsin is in a severe drought. And so having that information, I think, is really critical. But for me, one of the exciting things, Jane, is that once I've got, as a citizen, 100 data points in the system, then I can become part of the official climate record. So researchers from around the world then can use that data, in their forecast modeling and trying new things and looking at predicting drought. And so it just takes 100 days in a sense to have yourself as part of that. And there are people around the state that have been doing this for 10, 15, 20 or more years. And so having that type of climate record where you can say, I'm documenting what's happening out here, is a real point of pride for a lot of people.
I bet. And I would think for people who have been doing that for that long, Kevin, if they go out of town, it's like their neighbors know they have to check the rain gauge now because this this is part of their daily routine.
Well, that's one of the interesting things, too, is that we know that people travel, they take vacations. Mine is here at my office, and I'm not coming out here every day on Saturday and Sunday to check the gauge. But what I'm doing is then going in and putting in a multiple day report. And so we're still gathering that information. Even if you can't check the rain gauge or can't report it every day, we have a number of snowbirds that are seasonal reporters north of Highway 29 in northern Wisconsin that during the summer months when they're living their normal life in Wisconsin, they're reporting here. And when they go to Florida for the winter or somewhere else, they're actually reporting down there as well.
Oh, cool. Kevin Erb is the manager of the Conservation Professional Training Program that is through UW-Madison's Division of Extension. And we're talking about CoCoRaS, also called the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network. Do you have shirts? Because you should definitely have merch that says CoCoRaS on it.
No, we don't have shirts I'm aware of for the North American Manure Expo, which is another event I'm involved with. We do have souvenir t-shirts, but not for the Rain Gauge Network.
I mean, I'm cuckoo for CoCoRaS, just it writes itself.
It does. It's a natural.
Probably copyright infringement too, Greg.
Little details, Kevin. Details,
I don't worry
details.
About those things.
According to this article, again, that I found in the Journal Sentinel, there are some Wisconsin counties that only have a handful or fewer observers. So, Kevin, where would you really like to see more of these weather observers? Which counties in particular do you know?
Well, right now, it's particularly some of the northern counties. I mean, when we look at the map, and anybody can go online to the CoCoRaS website, and you can look at and see real-time where people have reported this morning how much they got overnight and through yesterday. And so you can kind of see fairly quickly there where the holes are in terms of our daily reporters. Some people only report when it rains. Other people are reporting every day, even those zeros. But like we said earlier, Jane, we've got some holes that we really need to fill. But having two people a mile apart really helps refine the resolution of our weather forecast. Because if you go on the National Weather Service website right now, what you see is that those forecasts are down to about mile and a quarter by mile and a quarter grids. And so we now have very good accuracy down to that level, but it could be better. When I first started here in Wisconsin almost 30 years ago, we were happy with 5 mile by 5 mile grids. But now, with the improved accuracy, with the data that's out there, you can have the GPS on your phone pick up the forecast if you're at the state fair or you're at American Family Field or down on the lakeshore. It's going to pick up that GPS location and give you a more accurate forecast based on where you are. And data like this really helps refine and improve those forecasts. Because if you ever look at the National Weather Service website, you can look at the weather radar, and it will do a precipitation summary, which is an estimate as far as how much rain actually fell. But the farther away you get from those radar sites, the less accurate that is because of how that radar beam has to angle upward. And obviously, if there's a major thunderstorm between you and the radar station, it's not going to be as accurate because part of those beams are being intercepted. So having these individual citizens out there going out once a day, taking 60 seconds and documenting, hey, here's how much rain I got, can really make a difference to improve weather forecasting.
Well, that's pretty remarkable that we have it down to like a mile and a half. I mean, another decade and you literally will be able to get a forecast for your house.
I think there's some people that think it's already that good, but I think there's also people that look at a weather forecast and say, well, they forecasted a foot of snow and we only got 2 inches. We're still with a very imprecise science when it comes to weather forecasting. And so the more data we have, the better off we are. Now, there's a lot of folks out there that have the backyard automated weather stations. And one of the things with some of those now is we can tie those into the National Weather Service through the CWOP, C-W-O-P program. And the challenge with the automated stations is we get more intense rain events, we get some of these thunderstorms. They're not as accurate as the old-fashioned gauges like this.
No kidding.
But they can also give us real-time data. So last year, we picked the East River watershed in Brown County. This year, we picked the Springbrook watershed up in Langlade County. We said, we really want to focus on getting a half a dozen to a dozen new people reporting there. And so up in Langlade County, we're talking to a few folks that are looking at tying their automated stations in. The neat thing about the automated weather stations that people have is the Weather Service can look at that real time. That's really going to improve flood forecasting, because if we know exactly how much has fallen, that's important.
Yeah, it's certainly as far as predicting, you know, how the water is going to move downstream and who it's going to be affecting and when it's going to hit flood stage for sure.
I just wanted to say really quick, on the live stream, Sherry from Horicon, who is an avid listener and my Three Headlines and a Lie partner, she says she wants to sign up to observe the weather. How do we do that? Kevin, do you want to talk about that? And also, just so you know, if you are interested, the article as well as the sign up on the website will be in the show notes today. So if you want to do that, head over to civicmedia.us, click on our show, click on today's show, and you'll be able to take that link.
Yep, it's a very good question. We direct people to the CoCoRahs website, which is CoCoRahs.org. On there, you're going to get to a map where you can click and see who's reported today. And you can zoom down to a very fine area and take a look at that. But then on the left-hand side is a Join Us link, and that's where you can sign up. The official rain gauges themselves are about $42. We find that they're much more accurate than what you might find at the hardware store. So for the rain side of things, we do ask that everybody buy one of the official gauges. But folks that want to measure snow or hail, there's low-cost options. And like I said earlier, Jane, we have people that just report hail or just report snow because that's what they want to do.
Kevin Erb is the UW Extension Conservation Professional Training Program through the UW-Madison Division of Extension. Such an interesting chat, Kevin. Thank you so very much for your time. Really appreciate it. Have a wonderful day. We'll get all that information in the show notes. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. And welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in sunny, beautiful downtown Waukesha. It is really nice out, you guys.
It's supposed to be like 67 degrees.
It's gorgeous. It's a little breezy, but it certainly finally feels like spring. And at least from looking at the skies right now for the partial eclipse that we're going to be able to see, because I think it's going to be around 50%. For most of Wisconsin. We're going to talk about that a little bit more after the bottom of the hour news. Beautiful, beautiful day. If you want to join the show, call, text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream wherever you're watching. Bless you.
Thank you.
On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I watched women's basketball yesterday.
You watched a sports?
I know. I watched a sports ball event.
I can't believe... What?
I know. I watched the Iowa South Carolina game. Yeah. South Carolina came out on top 87-75. I have to say, they never stopped moving. It was in line. I know this happens in basketball.
I mean, that's kind of how it has to work in basketball.
They're running back and forth. They're running back. But man, oh man, that was a high powered game. It really was. And so impressive. Calvin, did you watch any of it?
I didn't watch any of the championship game, but I did watch some of the games on Friday night, the final four games. Yeah. South Carolina, they were definitely the best team in the country. They were dominant.
And Caitlin Clark, who plays for Iowa, even said that too. She's an that's the thing I love listening to these young women in the women's NCAA championship and the March Madness is how in awe they are of each other and the praises and the flowers they're giving each other. And in the face of people trying to make them bitter enemies, it's like they love each other. They respect each other.
Yeah, they respect each other. Final score again, South Carolina over Iowa, 87-75. And what I think is really impressive, and the ratings aren't in yet, but Friday night's game that you had mentioned, Calvin, the face-off between UConn and Iowa, it had an audience of 14.2 million viewers.
Yeah.
That's big. That's a new high mark for women's basketball, according to ESPN, via Nielsen data. The turnout topped the short-lived ratings for a women's college basketball game of 12.3 million that was set on April 1st. And so I heard some roundup this morning about they had more viewers than, like, the last four Super Bowls combined or something. It was insane.
Terry Bell and Pat were talking this morning.
Thank you. Yes.
More than, I think it was Indianapolis 500, more than Super Bowls, more than World Series. I mean, it's undeniable how exciting basketball is. I mean, it's not my sport of choice, but I understand why people love it. And these young women, especially at the collegiate level, bringing that many people
it's astonishing, and it's great.
It's fantastic, and I love it, and I'm here for it.
I guess in watching the difference between professional basketball and college basketball always seems more intense. It always seems like there's more action, less wasting of seconds. You know, right?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think I personally like the NBA game a lot more than college game. I think they're just better. They're smoother. They miss less shots. I think the part of the reason college basketball seems so intense is that they're missing more shots. They're not as good as handling the ball. So there's more loose balls for them to chase after than there is.
I think it's because they're trying to prove something. They're trying to prove how, like, they're working on winning the championships, getting the scholarship, keeping the scholarships, getting an NBA or WNBA contract, or some of them are just driven to win hard. I think it might be more intense, for in my opinion. I don't disagree, Calvin. I think there's truth to that, but there's more intensity because they might be
hungrier,
more at stake. When you get the NBA, I get it. There's a lot of guys out there who are very, very competitive and they're going to play hard, but I'll watch NBA games and I'll be like, God, you don't like care. You've got you. That check cleared already, didn't it? Whereas in college, it's not as much the same thing. It's more now they can make money now, which is great, but yeah, they play hard and it's great. And yeah.
Well, it's interesting. When we were talking to J.R. Ratcliffe last week, he essentially said, yeah, we're getting towards the end of the regular season now, so nobody's really putting on that much. Implied, I should say.
Yeah.
They don't have to put as much into it because when the playoffs start, it's a whole new season.
Yeah, I think that's a craziness, especially for the Bucks now. I mean, not to take it to the NBA, but like one of the things we talked about this morning was the fact that the Bucks are on a losing streak too. And if they slip... they slip, but yeah, the college basketball is exciting.
Well, and it wasn't South Carolina. They were undefeated.
Yes,
right?
Undefeated.
Mm-hmm. The entire season. That's just remarkable.
You know who else was undefeated this year? The UW-Madison Badgers women's hockey team.
Yes.
Undefeated.
Yes. And the volleyball team, I know they didn't come out on top.
No, but they still
did great, and they've been racking up huge numbers too, as far as audience goes.
And if I'm not mistaken, please, I five of the players from the Badgers women hockey team are going to like a national team.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing this overall, all over the place: women's soccer, women's basketball, women's hockey, bringing in, playing their hearts out, and bringing in audience members and bringing in fans. And there are sports bars that are playing all women's sports, or are a bar that is all women's sports driven. I mean, I went to a bar in Kenosha yesterday, and both channels had women's sports playing. And there was, and I know there were men's sports going on at the same time. It's ESPN. There's always sports happening.
Well, I just think it's delightful. I am so happy about this. I think it's great. It's great for the sports. It's great for our young girls to see these role models and to see some of these, you know, these 9-year-olds looking up to Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark and who is the one who's 6'7"? I think she's plays for South Carolina. She's gigantic.
I know who you're talking about, but now I can't remember.
She's
her name
I mean, she's gorgeous, but she's enormous.
That's Camila Cardoso.
Yeah. 6'7".
We got a text really quick here from Robert listening on WMDX. He said, pro sports games would be more exciting with less regular season games to make them worth more. I'll say that with the NBA, I'm sure. Not with the MLB. Give me more baseball.
You want more
baseball? I want 900 games a year. That's what I want. Please and thank you. Make that. Jane, you're in charge of radio. Make that a thing.
I make it so, Kelvin. We'll make it so. Yeah. News is coming up. Oh, just a reminder, make sure you download the Civic Media app.
Oh, yeah.
It's free.
Oh, I thought it was cost money.
No, it's free, and you can get it wherever you get your apps, and that will give you the opportunity to listen to all of our stations all across the Civic Media radio network, no matter where you are, and then you can always call and text in directly from the app, so it's pretty snappy. All right. News is coming up next, and then we're talking all things Eclipse. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay with us on the Civic Media radio network.
The ball, y'all.
Good morning. I hate that song.
Hello.
I hate that song. Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart. I hate that song.
Do you want to... Okay. Can you listen to the music? Not the lyrics, but can you listen to the music? If you want to see something really funny, and I'll put it in the show notes and I'll send it to you. There's a video for that song from the 80s. It's ridiculous. It's chaos. But a woman and a man wrote a song in that tune describing shot for shot what's happening in that video.
Oh, that sounds hilarious.
And when you listen to it, I almost fell over laughing. I was laughing so hard. And now this song is ridiculous to me because that's all I think.
And it was huge.
Oh, my gosh.
It was huge. And I was in music right... You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, by the way. Thank you for joining us. I was in music radio when that song came out, and it's long. It's like 6.5 minutes long.
Yeah.
And which was kind of unusual for pop radio at the time, but we played it endlessly.
They didn't have a radio edit of that song?
No.
My goodness.
It just went on and on.
It's still going on right now.
It's still, she's still on and on and on. But yes, it's with the Total Eclipse Day. We're not going to have another total eclipse in North America till like 2044.
Okay, so I have a question.
Yes.
So when Bridget and I went to Louisville years ago, there was a total eclipse. There was an eclipse.
Okay.
I'm just going to call it an eclipse. When I went to Texas last October, there was an eclipse. Today there's an eclipse. I always feel like they're always saying there's an eclipse and it's the last time it's ever going to happen for forever. What are the differences I need to know?
Well, certainly there's a difference between a partial eclipse and a total eclipse.
Yeah.
And so this is the first time, and I can't pull this out of my head, but there is a path of totality across the United States.
Okay.
And that doesn't always happen. A lot of times we'll get a partial eclipse, but this is a total eclipse where if you are in the path and the weather is good, you should be able to see the entire moon, cover the entire sun to the point where it gets dark. and you can see stars.
I'm just saying, Jane, if in a year or two someone says, are you ready for the eclipse? I was told not coming back till 2044.
Well, no, the total eclipse, but there are eclipses going on.
Now the backpedaling.
I'm not backpedaling. One thing I did want to highlight before we get into how you can make your pinhole viewer, because someone sent that in as a question and said, don't tell me to Google it. So I'll actually tell you how to make one of those pinhole viewers.
I was hoping you'd tell them to Bing it.
if you don't have sunglasses. Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, God.
From Georgia.
We were having such a good time.
On Friday. And just a reminder, on Friday, there was that earthquake in New York. From what I understand, it was the epicenter was pretty close to one of Donald Trump's golf courses, Bedminster.
Oh, no.
Marjorie Taylor Greene posting on Friday, quote, God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent. Earthquakes and eclipses and many more things to come. I pray that our country listens. She got dragged so hard. First of all, Community Notes immediately corrected that tweet. Monday's eclipse was predicted hundreds of years ago. It is not caused by contemporary actions. Earthquakes occur naturally and happen on average more than 30 times a day across the world, although many are too subtle to feel. Other commenters said, quote, that eclipse really caught us off guard. Serious question, MTG. How do you manage to feed yourself?
Yeah, that's total silence you're hearing, folks, because she has left us speechless. Well, welcome back to the show. We don't know what to say to her.
But then she did come back and she said, oh, now I'm getting mocked. All these people, you know, I'm getting mocked. And okay, fine, mock me. But those of us who are Christians know that God sends signs for us to interpret. Therefore, my question is, doesn't everyone get to interpret them then?
Yeah.
There's not just one interpretation. There could be numerous interpretations of what this means.
It sounds like you have to be a Christian. And not only that, you have to be a Christian like the congresswoman herself. That's when you're allowed to have an opinion.
The direct pipeline?
Yes, indeed. You get to have the interpretation of the right. And I don't mean the party. I mean of the correct.
Ah,
so
good to know.
Yeah. I just think it's because, you know, tectonic plates are shifting and things are happening. And I don't know, like a God or nature, it's scary. Because either way, it's sending us a message.
Well, I guess my interpretation of that earthquake on Friday was Ivana's ticked.
Hey-o!
Just saying. Jeff from Caledonia is on the line. Good morning, Jeff. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, hi there.
Hi.
I've been listening to the show for a long time. When I was in grade school, I'm 75, so that tells you a little bit of how old we are. We used to do that, go out, have resets while the sun was going crazy. And just use a piece of cardboard and poke a hole in it and put it around your shoulder and have a piece of white paper underneath, and you see the eclipse, as it were.
You got it, Jeff.
See how easy that is?
Yep, you got it, Jeff. That is absolutely... absolutely what they describe. There's an article in the Washington Post says, get an empty cereal box on a white piece of paper or white cardboard, trace the bottom of the box, then clip out the traced rectangle from the paper, put it in the bottom of the open box. That will be the screen for the images of the eclipse to project onto. You cut two squares on the lid of the box, then tape it together. For one square, cover the hole in foil, tape it down. Push a small nail through it. That's the lens that the sun's light will pass through. The smaller the hole, the sharper the image will be.
So when you put the piece of white paper in the box, the bottom of the box should still be intact.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's the top of the box that's going to be like the viewer.
If you can't do that, go to www.amazon.com.
It's kind of late.
I'm just kidding.
Because you did order our sunglasses, our solar eclipse glasses from there. And quite seriously, folks, don't look up at the sun.
Please don't look up.
Even if you have sunglasses, even if you have prescription sunglasses, don't do it.
Don't be funny about it.
Like someone I can think of who did that standing at the White House looked up directly at it. Don't do that because you can seriously damage your eyes.
He wasn't looking up at the sun. He was like, hey, those people think that guy sent me. Because he was pointing up. But yeah, it's not funny. Don't even squint your eyes.
No.
Don't take this.
Don't risk it. You only have two eyeballs.
Yes, indeed. And yeah, we're not warning you. We're telling you because we care.
Absolutely. So. I don't want anybody to get hurt. And I would still like everyone to be able to take part. From what I'm seeing, though, Wisconsin is only going to see about 50% of the peak coverage because we're not in the line of totality. And I talked to my friend who's in Texas yesterday, who's outside of Austin, because they're supposed to get pretty close to totality. And she said the weather forecast down there is terrible.
That just sounds so apocalyptic when you say it. We're getting the eclipse in totality.
It's supposed to be life-changing.
Yeah.
It really is. I have read accounts of people who have seen the total eclipse. It goes, the birds stop singing. Everything goes quiet.
And we know how much you love birds.
I know. And you can see stars. There's actually a group who have bee monitors, honeybee monitors.
Yeah.
They are, because bees will change their behavior in the dark.
Yeah.
And so they have these little bee monitors for beekeepers all across the country who are in the line of totality to monitor what's going on in the hive when... During the total solar eclipse, you don't think that's cool?
I think that's amazing. I think that's wonderful. I kind of wish I knew about it before right now when I'm just trying to think of all the jokes I'm trying to make, like B-monitor.
It's called the B-clips.
Oh, God, I love that so much. if someone stands in front of me, like Brian Kelly, fancy Brian Kelly stands in front of me, it's a G-clips.
Fair enough.
Calvin, I'm funny, all right? He's yawning. He's literally yawning at the exact moment I said that. I got my glasses, and I plan on, wherever I am, I'm going to stop, sit in the car hood, because I'll probably be out and about, and just kind of watch for a little bit, and then get back to my day. But yeah, it's cool. It's very cool.
There's a great compilation in today's Journal Sentinel, and we will put this link in the show notes, so you can take a look at where this is going to happen. So in Platteville... you should see it from about 12:49 to 3:18. Richland Center, 12:50 to 3:18. Madison, 12. These are all within a minute or two. Madison, again, 12:51 to 3:19. Same for Janesville. Here in Waukesha, 12:52 to 3:21.
That's a long time, too.
Peak is at 2:07 when the moon covers 89% of the sun. Skywalkers in Waukesha can view the eclipse at 50% of maximum coverage at 1:33 and again at 2:42.
You just said Skywalkers.
Skywatchers.
Oh, darn it. I thought.
It was an intentional Star Wars reference. Kenosha, 12:52 to 3:21 with a peak at 2:08. Milwaukee from 12:53 to 3:21, the peak also around 2:08. The eclipse at 50% maximum at 1:33 and again at 2:42. So it is a several hour process, but the peak again around 2:06 to 2:08 for most of it sounds like southeastern Wisconsin.
I'm really trying hard not to make a that's a more joke. Because you said when the moon hits your eyes.
Like a big pizza pie?
That's a more. Now I want pizza. But yeah, no, it's gonna be really cool. And I feel like I heard someone say that schools aren't going to be taking part at all because of safety issues, that being able to secure glasses and whatnot.
And make sure kids are all wearing them properly. And...
I mean, that's very true. I at first I was like, oh, and then I'm like, nope, I get it.
Now that we've tried these glasses on, you literally cannot see anything.
No, you will be bumping into people. I almost bumped into you. So, and I'm a full grown adult. I'm like three of those children.
So I guess I can understand that, but safety first.
Exactly.
Williams Bay, which is near Lake Geneva, Yerkes Observatory is having an event. The eclipse in Williams Bay will be about 90%. Only 10% of normal light from the sun hits the ground. So they are having some family fun events for eclipse watchers if you want to check that out. Albert Einstein once visited the Yerkes Observatory.
Prove it.
It says it. I found it in the internet.
I wanted to know what it felt like to be cantankerous and just, you know, like conspiratorial. That's what they say. That's what they want you to believe, Jane, that he went there.
That he went there?
Yeah.
And that the moon is a real thing?
The moon isn't real. It's flat and made of cheese. Sorry.
Be safe today.
I drank a lot of coffee in a short amount of time today. Yes,
and,
please.
And just a reminder again, go to civicmedia.us anytime you want to revisit the show and see what we talked about. And Greg does a really good job of including articles and links and other things that go along with the show. Yeah. So when you go to civicmedia.us, just look for Matt Nair on Air, click on that, and it has the entire archive.
Yeah. And you can subscribe to the show as a podcast. If you go to where, if you know, whether it's
wherever you get your pods,
you can subscribe. You can upload new episodes, 2 episodes a day, because it's split into the 2 halves of the show. You can do that pretty much with every show on Civic Media. So be a part of it, download it, and rate us.
Yeah. We would love to. And we always love to hear from you too. You can always email at janesays@civicmedia.us. All right. One segment left to go. Jane goes to Game Fest.
The Midwest Gaming Classic.
That too. That's on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B on the board. You can always join us, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We're going to move on in just a second, but a little more solar eclipse conversation. Had a couple texts come in. Robert from McFarland said, can't you watch the eclipse on your phone by pointing the selfie camera at the eclipse and you watch the screen? I'm not sure about that, Robert. I haven't seen that endorsed anywhere. I would be very careful.
That doesn't sound right. What you can do, though, and I've done this and I've watched other people do it, you can if you have the glasses, I would suggest having multiple pairs of glasses to make this work. You leave your solar eclipse glasses on. You can take a pair of them, put them over the lens of your camera and take a picture.
Way.
It won't be the world's greatest picture, but it's kind of cool. I'm looking at it, it says, it's well known that during the solar eclipse without protective gear, the sun can damage your eyes permanently. However, your cell phone camera might also be at risk. According to NASA, the phone sensor could be at high risk of damage like any other image sensor if pointed directly at the sun. So
don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that, Robert. Yeah.
Make yourself a cereal box solar eclipse glasses.
You can find it. It's not hard. And you have time. Lynn from Oconomowoc joining too. My granddaughter's Campbell Sports 7th grade class will view the eclipse at the Milwaukee Public Museum today.
Fun.
Very cool. Going to be, I'm sure, at the observatory.
Very fun.
Yeah,
I love it.
That's very, very fun. And we had a great comment on the live stream from PJ because, Greg, you were asking about why there seems to always be some kind of eclipse going on. And PJ says there are two types of eclipses, lunar and solar. During a lunar eclipse, Earth's shadow obscures the moon. During a solar eclipse, which this one is, the moon blocks the sun.
I feel like I should have. Thank you, PJ. And it feels like information I should have known my entire life. Would you say that this discussion about this topic has eclipsed your story of the Midwest Gaming Classic?
It could.
Thank you. I'm smart.
I did go.
You went.
I went to the Midwest Gaming Classic, and we had talked to
Matt Isbell.
Matt Isbell last week, who was from the Midwest Gaming Classic, and I was just so curious about it that I went yesterday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
It was family day, and I went for about 2.5 hours, and I learned some interesting things about myself.
Like what?
First of all, I was so impressed. You know, when you get in, and the Baird Center is a big place.
Oh, it's huge. It's like vast.
Yeah, it is. It's enormous. So people are waiting in line to buy their tickets, and then other people who had bought them in advance, like I did, there's another line for you to get your wristband and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Take a guess for the music they had, live music, while people were waiting to go buy their tickets.
I think it was a band. Was it a live band?
It was live music, I'll say.
8-bit video game music.
It was a xylophone player.
That sounds like, depending on my mood, either wonderful or absolutely.
I thought that was so great. I did.
No, good. I love
it. And he was good.
I'm loving this story so far.
Not that I would know a bad xylophone player from a good xylophone player.
You would.
But I just thought that's a really unique.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of backgroundy music. You don't want anything too loud. And I just thought, how cool. Someone knows if someone who plays I'd love to know if someone who plays a xylophone.
Did you talk to the person?
No.
All right. Well, all right.
All right.
What else did you learn?
I learned.
This is a new segment called Things Jane Learned.
I really like pinball.
Yes.
I haven't touched a pinball machine in, I bet, 45 years.
My word. All right.
It's been decades. And it was just never something that we grew up with or that was big. And I had more fun playing pinball.
Mm-hmm.
Than I would ever have anticipated.
Was there a machine? Was there one that like got like you're like, oh, the KISS one or the...
There were three.
Okay, which ones?
So I kind of rotated between three machines.
Okay.
One was David Bowie Labyrinth.
What?
And so in addition to the game itself, there are puppet heads on the top of the machine that light up and talk and all this stuff is going on.
Do they say like, you remind me of the babe? What babe? The babe with the power? What power? The power?
So I like the David Bowie Labyrinth
That's awesome.
Machine. My other favorite was the Elton John machine.
Oh, nice.
And I would love to get to play some of these where there's not so much other ambient noise.
Okay.
So you could really hear the music and hear the whatever that he's saying, because there was a lot of stuff and I had no idea what was going on. But my ultimate favorite pinball machine.
Yes.
Probably of all time, and this isn't going to surprise you guys.
What?
It was The Wizard of Oz.
That's cool. I love that.
It is the prettiest video game I have ever seen.
I have to imagine the colors are beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's just gorgeous.
Fantastic. I love that.
It was, I had more fun, and the paddles are ruby slippers. It's just made me happy.
There's only one pinball machine I've ever wanted, and that was the Doctor Who pinball machine. I love that one.
Okay.
Pinball machines are so much fun. Like, if you had a friend who had a pinball machine, that was the thing of like, Steve is a pinball machine.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a pool table, a pool, or a pinball machine. Those were the things that would get you to somebody's house.
Right.
And I would say now, a pinball machine would get me over to your house, or bumper pool. I love bumper pool.
Oh, bumper pool.
Bumper pool's fun.
Well, but, I go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but yeah, this is great. I love it.
I looked up the Wizard of Oz pinball machine. There's one available on eBay, Greg Bach. Take a guess.
$22,000.
$17,000.
All right.
It came out in 2013.
Calvin, me and you, we're going to put together some funding. We're going to cash in our... We're going to cash in our Bed Bath & Beyond gift cards we got before when we were talking to Mr. Temer. We're going to get you this pinball machine.
17 grand seems like a little much.
Nothing's too good for my host.
And it was incredible, too, how spoiled I got, how quickly, because they have all kinds of much older pinball machines there. So I went and played a couple of those, and it's like, you got nothing. Have you seen the Wizard of Oz machine?
Was it
compared
free?
To this old Beatles machine? There's no comparison.
Okay, don't be mean. Sherry says on the live stream, remember the Who movie Pinball Wizard? Absolutely. Yeah, that was a fun song and a fun pinball game. I played that. Was it free to play them?
Free. Except, so admission was $25. Yeah. And then you could play as many times as you wanted.
Fantastic.
I mean, obviously, you want to be gracious, and I would play two and then let somebody else play, and you go walk around and you come back. And yeah,
but you had fun?
I had a ball. I had an absolute ball.
Jane had fun!
I hope you had fun, and I hope you will stick around. News is next, followed by Todd Alba. Thank you, Greg and Calvin. Without you guys, nothing works. Thank you all for calling and listening and texting. It means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.